Blog Talk Radio.
There he is. What's going on, Charlie? How are you, sir?
I dialed the one in front of it last time, and it gave me his number was disconnected, so that's pretty. 718 is an 800 number now, type?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, this is Blog Talk Radio in New York, basically, so that's where their server is, so it's a little online thing. So give me 1 second, I'll back it up, and then we'll get started.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's funny. I didn't have to dial one to get in. It's pretty cool.
Oh, all right. Upgrade, man. We'll take it. All right. Give me just 1 second.
Sure.
Welcome into another edition of the Bandit.com podcast. It's Thursday or Friday Eve, as we say in my company. I don't know about this next gentleman on the line, if he calls it Friday Eve or not. His travel schedule was a little hectic. I think he's back from Corpus Christi, Texas, the site of the CIT unfortunate loss last night for the men's basketball team. But I'll jump straight to the line. Director of Athletics, Charlie Cobb. What's going on, Charlie? It's a cold Thursday, man, and never fun when your team's coming off a loss, right?
Yeah, it's a tough night last night, and quick flight back this morning. But, you know, the beauty of what we get to do, I tell people all the time that Saturday and Sunday, you know, we work when everybody else is on vacation. So I don't – this Thursday – Friday Eve, whatever thing you were just talking about. That's a new one. I hadn't heard that one. So,
yeah, well, we try to incentivize the employees, you know, give them something to look forward to. But like you said, a little bit different mentality. You guys don't close, you know, as you well know from your phone ringing and things that way. Wanted to ask you specifically about some of the CIT and CBI. You know, we get a lot of questions on our site, and I'm sure other sites as well. Obviously, the expectation level rise 2 years ago. You know, your first year here in Atlanta when, you know, Coach Hunter and the men's basketball program made the NCAAs. It's really, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the expectation level for every program at Georgia State, right?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult thing. And, you know, last night I flew in out of San Antonio, so I had a drive back last night and had a chance to kind of reflect. And Ron and I were talking a little bit, and yeah, I think these the postseason basketball tournaments are really coming a couple of different angles. But you know, if you're a program and you go back to Ron's first year here, when you're trying to change a culture and, you know, mindset, and guys really hadn't had success, you want to keep playing as long as you can. And then obviously now where the program's at and their expectations to be in the NCAA tournament, and I think it's a difficult thing. And Cantley, I think you saw a little bit of that last night, that the effort just wasn't there. That's a trademark of a Ron Hunter coach team, and you know, he certainly was frustrated. I know a lot of people probably listening to the game, watching on Facebook, were disappointed as well. And it gets to be this struggle that, you know, kids come off an emotional, you know, loss in a tournament, and with everybody's eyes focused on NCAA postseason, and then turn around a couple of days later, and not only are you playing again, but you're also playing on the road. And you know, so I think it's one of those things for us to go in and evaluate where our program is, and where all our programs are when it gets to be at a time for postseason. Is it really about playing, you know, an extra game or two or three, or is it really about, you know, we're going to have that competitive excellence that we always talk about? And certainly last night, you know, it wasn't there. So we certainly need to look at it and evaluate how we go about this in the future.
Well, I was going to ask you too, and there's a financial ramification as well. You know, we have the you know, the sensibilities. We're not a major program. We're not in a major conference that has TV contracts that, you know, certainly can ease those. And as we well know, it's been well publicized and documented. Typically, schools in a CIT or CBI, they pay to host a home game, right?
Yeah, you know, we're not any. We don't have any financial exposure, you know, for playing the game last night. When you go on the road, the tournament or the host group covers the expenses. And so, you know, and we had made the decision, you know, several weeks earlier that when we went into postseason, if we weren't in the NCAA tournament, that we played that first round game on the road, primarily because school's out and, you know, spring break. And then, you know, you get that win on the road and give it, you know, and we're typically a team that plays well on the road. So go on the road, play, get that win and then come back home, you know, whether it's this weekend or whether it's next weekend, and play that second or third round game back in the sports arena, and you know, give yourself a chance to make it you know, financially work. But you know, it's part of, it's the cost of doing business, and it's part of, you know, running a Division I athletic program. And so we're not alone in, you know, in doing that. So you know, not that big of a concern.
Yeah, one quick question. I promise you we'll move on to other things, as I did have several other topics that, to discuss. But I played basketball. You played basketball. A little bit different vibe in that arena last night, certainly looking through it on the view of Facebook Live with all the volleyball markings on the court and different things like that. Dave even mentioned it on the radio a little bit. Guys kind of really couldn't get a sense, and I'm not making excuses for the team, certainly. They, you know, I agree with your sentiments as well. Just looked like they may have not been up for the challenge there in Texas A&M Corpus Christi was, but a little bit of a weird setup there for those guys.
No, I don't think it was at all. I mean, it's, you know, we're forcing up between, you know, what we've been able to do on campus and stuff, but between the Ferrers and Kathy and Chris. We the practice facility, it's probably a little larger than our practice facility. It's a nice, you know, intimate setting, but certainly not an environment the kids hadn't played in before in terms of shooting. You know, basketball's hand-eye coordination and putting the ball in a hole. And I think more of what affected us last night was we missed some early open shots, and it really kind of drained us. Instead of persevering and fighting through it, we tended to back away. You know, Ron, we were talking about last night, I'm not sure that we came up with one 50-50 ball in that game. And those are effort plays, and those are those extra possessions, you know, especially defensively or offensively, that can switch and change a game. So I don't think it really had anything to do with where we played. I don't think it had anything to do with execution. It's just more of, you know, effort intensity. And at the end of the day, you know, you got to put the ball in the basket. You got to score some points. And I think that's – it's part of kids' motivation today, is that so many kids, when you play basketball, if you don't score, you don't think you played well. And there's so many other, you know, Ryan Green and I, when I walked in the office this morning, we were talking about it. I said, there's so many other things that you can do as an athlete, as a player, as a teammate, besides just putting the ball in the basket. And that's part of, I think, the maturation process that kids need to go through. And certainly it's a growth opportunity for all of us.
I agree with that. Well, I wanted to zoom out a little bit. So we're entering, you know, couple of years, you on the job now. One of the quick, great questions we had on the boards were, you know, what are some things that maybe are different now, other than obviously the big purchases out there we'll talk about in a second, and some of the growth of the athletic department. But maybe, you know, a couple of years in here at Georgia State, what's different from when you first got here, other than basically, you know, obviously that big stadium that now bears the university's name?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's all about expectations, and you know, we certainly we want to be competitive first and foremost in everything that we do, and feel really good about the group of coaches as a collective group, and we got some really talented kids, and you know, so like last night when we, you know, and even in the tournament in New Orleans, we don't meet our own expectations, you know, certainly don't need to go too far to figure out whether or not we're content with what we did, and certainly a 21 season in basketball and a 21 season at Georgia State is something that everybody, you know, should take a lot of pride in. But the reality of it is that's not where this, you know, where Ron's gotten this program, and that's not the expectation around this program. It's not his expectation. It's not his kids' expectation. And so, you know, I think you can take one program and run it across the board, but we want to be successful in every facet of what we do, and I think that's been the exciting part. But it's also, you know, in moments like this when it used to be pretty disappointing that you haven't reached the goals that you had set for yourself.
Yeah, and one of the things too, I mean, you and I talked about it very early, even I think on a podcast, talking specifically, one of the immediate things you wanted to do was basically building the fan base. And, you know, we go back, and certainly the city of Atlanta had their own disappointments on a big stage. But, you know, I think even further drilled down, you know, if you have a specific program or two or even three where you continuously have disappointments and, you know, you don't meet expectations, whether they be lofty or just even in the middle, it's harder to build a fan base. And I know that's been one of the tough parts, you know, with you and your department as well, is just continuing to build that fan base. Is that still the hardest part of your job you see on a daily basis?
You know, the challenge is trying to take a a pretty infant Division I program and say, okay, here's, you know, we want to be competitive with people who've been playing, you know, football for 30, 40, 50 years or playing, you know, top shelf basketball for, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, however long you want to look at it, and build that, you know, progress with tradition and it's, you know, across the board. But, you know, the reality of it is that we got such a lift from Ron, you know, and the team 2 years ago, and it's trying to sustain that and trying to meet that expectation. Dave and I were talking about yesterday, it's, you know, getting that NCAA bid, but then also the history of Georgia State of having that second bid so you can build some momentum from it. And I think that's the big part of, you know, you take your assets, you take what you have. As part of the incentive for us in Canley of creating this fan council is that, you know, we recognize that we have a staff of about 100 people, and, you know, from a fan engagement marketing standpoint, there's really probably about 10 or 12 of us that are pretty much every day engaged in it. But we need to extend that, you know, exponentially, and it needs to be, you know, several thousand people excited about what Georgia State's doing across the board with our sports. And, you know, so we want to engage people, but we also want to recognize the fact that this is a process, and we've got to honor that process. And but it certainly makes it a whole lot easier. When obviously when you win, people want to jump on the bandwagon pretty hard, and it's this core group of fans that love Georgia State, love Georgia State University, love our athletic program, love our teams, our coaches, and how do we find more like them? And so part of you know, between the spring tour and this fan council, we hope we can really ramp up the engagement piece. And you know, somebody says, well, you know, give me a quantifiable answer to that. Well, you know, 2 years ago we did the signing day event, and we had probably about 25, 30 people at the event. This past year we do it, and we had close to 400 people at the event. And so, you know, those are the type of monumental gains from a support standpoint that we're looking for, and we won't rest until we figure out the right process to engage any and everybody who wants to support Georgia State.
Well, and I was going to ask you, there's one thing that was brought up at that meeting, and I think you and even Coach Sean Elliott brought up specifically. You know, there's a lot of people and a lot of folks that have opinions on Georgia State Athletics. I'm sure you've seen it on social media. I think you've seen it certainly whether it hits your email box or folks like that. And I've even talked to Mike Holmes about this. You know, the folks that have opinions, and it's one of the reasons why you guys – and I encourage folks, whether they read our sites or come and follow me on social media, you guys aren't hiding anywhere. You are more than happy to speak with folks, talk with them, join a fan council, coming out to one of these, you know, rotating events in a place near you. The access is ridiculous. And I've tried to explain people, I've been a fan of major programs before. You don't get access like that without, a big time monetary donation in a lot of cases to have access to the athletic director or access to, a football coach or men's basketball coach, women's basketball coach, et cetera. You have tried to, continue to, have that door open and have that ear open and listen to the fans and listen to folks that are, that have concerns or, questions or, to your credit, I think as well that you reach out and continue to engage fans and ask, hey, look, if you don't think we're doing it right or you think you would like to see this, you open it up and, you have not a, hey, we do it better. It's, hey, if you guys have an idea, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, what I'm proud about our staff and our coaches, we're real people. And certainly, I think criticism always is a little bit difficult, and especially when you're in the heat of the moment as a coach or, as a player, you people don't really understand sometimes the investment, both from a mental standpoint, but also from a physical standpoint. Some days are your day, some days aren't. But you certainly want to have more that are your day. And but we got a solid group of people, and it's exciting, and it's part of our opportunity to expose, that group to our fan base. We want to build this thing. And I have a picture from the one of the original photographs or drawings that was done with the stadium full, and the idea and the challenge of saying, okay, how do we do this? Well, and people think, man, this is exciting, this is great. I look at it every day. It's on my phone, it's on my computer, it's on my laptop. We stare at it every single day, and that's what drives you. And it's certainly well within our reach, and we all got to pull together. We all got to do our part and then some. But there were people probably 15, 20 years ago that, you know, Georgia State will never have a football program. There are probably people now that still say, hey, man, why does Georgia State have a football program? I think we've answered that, you know, in a couple of key games through the last several years, that we have a program and have an opportunity to be incredibly relevant. And now it's up to Sean and his staff and us as a staff and our fans to really create that environment. And one thing that I'm really, really excited about, and it's more information and ideas come down the road, but, you know, game days are going to be special, and it's going to be an awesome thing. And people come back when they have a great time. And part of that is teams got to play well, but it also gets into the tailgating, the whole community of Georgia State fans, pregame, postgame, and even the entertainment during the game. So we're putting a lot of time and effort in and trying to create this package. It'll be a pretty special game day for Georgia State come this fall.
And I know you mentioned it last night on the halftime show with Dave, and we gave him a little hard time about he had a face for radio, which I certainly understand and can agree with. But
you and I both as well.
No,
so, it's three of us.
Yeah, exactly. No question. We'd be a three-headed monster, no doubt about it. But you know, did want a quick update. I know you guys and you mentioned that, and credit to the university, credit to Mike as well for the constant, you know, just visual updates. How involved are you with updates of that facility? Obviously, it benefits athletics, but it is a university, and between J.E. Dunn and those guys, you know, is that something that you look at constantly? Obviously, you mentioned the picture, but is that something you kind of keep up with every week or periodically, or how involved are you in that ongoing process?
Probably about five times a day, to be honest. You're always fascinated what's going on, I thought the Friday flyover with the drone, I think, is an incredibly unique marketing opportunity. I give Andrea credit for coming up with that concept. But if we're out at the stadium to do one thing or another, the challenge is we don't want to get in the way of the construction that's going on. But there's certain other things that we have to start planning for and doing. And if somebody from our staff is out at the stadium, they'll take a quick picture and send over. And you know, it's just fascinating to watch what these guys can get done in a 24-hour period of time. But it's like building your own house. I mean, you know, you try to say you're going to not hover over the guy who's building it, but you somehow magically end up riding by it pretty much every day to see what they did from one day to the next. So it's an exciting time. I mean, it's a big part of our present Georgia State athletic program, and certainly a huge part of our future. And so you know, it's the first start in this wheel of trying to create the aspirational program that we want. So we're all excited around here.
And we talked about the fans and certainly visiting that. I've driven by several times myself, having clients and businesses down right downtown as well. Are there, and this may be premature just because the construction is still ongoing, but are there days kind of penciled in, certainly not in pen, but something where, you know, a selected seat event or something where you're bringing fans down? I know obviously we had the signing day event there, but, you know, probably not exactly a safe zone right now to bring fans and folks down there to see. Certainly down on the field necessarily. I know football has been using some stuff in the Sub 55 club, former Sub 55 club, and things like that. But is that kind of on the docket and the agenda in the near future?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the simple answer to your question, there's some, if you will, family events that are being held, and there's some recruiting stuff and some coaching clinics, things like that, that the football programs, you know, putting in place, if you will, in the near foreseeable future. But our ticket deadline is May 1st, and that's when we're going to get an idea of where we're over season tickets and priority and seating and stuff. And then we're going to go through and do, if you will, seating tours for people and saying basically, okay, here's what a seat in the lower level looks like. Here's a club level seat, and for those that are interested, you know, here's what the suites look like. And those will be in a managed process, and a lot of it behind the scenes. And it won't be a mass public, you know, come run the stadium or walk around the stadium or tour around the stadium. And strictly, that's just in deference to the construction that's going on. But we'll certainly we're certainly going to do some controlled tours of the stadium, and really the seating areas is pretty much what the pieces that we're going to do, just to make sure people who are buying tickets feel really comfortable about where they're going to be. But you know, that's to come here in the next several weeks to a month or so.
Cool, very cool. Well, I appreciate that. And one of the questions that we had, and certainly I had as well, and I know it's still on the it's not as near as a football game, but the baseball stadium's construction. Where's kind of the status on that? I know Coach Frady and the guys have had they had a tough loss yesterday to number 12 Oklahoma. Nearly came back and got them, and have already got a name win on the resume in the early season, beating Ole Miss before they jump into Sun Belt play. But I know the plans of that are the former Hank Aaron site, the former Atlanta Fulton County site. When is that on the docket, or when can we expect some news on the baseball stadium?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you asking the question. You know, the first thing I want to tell you is that, you know, the baseball win at Ole Miss, it's fascinating because one of the things we're doing around here is keeping a list of all the Power 5 wins across the board, and we've had some tremendous wins from all our teams. Something that I think as a mid-major program, you always want to be pretty mindful of the fact of some of the teams that you beat that have resources well beyond, you know, what you have, and yet you're able to be competitive because your kids play hard and they compete. And so we're trying to figure out some kind of acknowledgement tradition, some kind of annual thing to do when keep a list of the Power 5 wins is now the vernacular goes. But as far as the baseball stadium, it's a pretty simple thing. We're doing the phase one piece of the stadium. You know, obviously before September, there's a phase two part of the stadium that's a lot of behind the scenes or behind the house spaces that will hopefully start that process of planning for here this fall, and obviously we got to get the appropriate approvals as well. You know, candidly, the most important thing, the appropriate funding for, and then the baseball stadium will be the third phase of this project. But really look forward about 2 years to get started, I think, is really kind of the timeline now. And obviously, if we can expedite the funding process to it, then certainly, you know, money talks, and that's a big part of what we gotta do going forward is the sponsorship aspects, the naming aspects, the other pieces that an individual can name, and we've got some creative programs coming out here again in the next couple of weeks to really address some of this. So everybody, it's a chance for everybody to get involved and have a piece of, if you will, ownership of the athletic facilities.
Well, you mentioned naming rights. I know that was a topic brought up for the stadium. Of course, we know that signage right there off the interstate, getting, you know, thousands and probably tens of thousands, you know, a day. I don't know the specific numbers. You guys probably know that
it's
a whole lot better than me.
Hundreds of thousands of people write about it every
hundreds
day.
Hundreds of thousands. Yeah, hundreds yeah. of thousands. And I feel like I'm one of the hundreds of thousands almost every day as well. But, you know, how's that process going? How's the response been? Certainly don't want to break any news here, but just in general, how's that process down the line? With finding a sponsor, as we know, George State Stadium is great, but that is certainly a placeholder for now.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of behind the scenes work. Something I'm probably not at a point right now to be able to talk about publicly, but very excited about the prospects and you know, kind of see where it goes. You know, over the next several weeks to a couple months, and obviously we want to put somebody's name on the stadium as well as put it on the field as well. Two huge assets for the university, for the facility, and certainly a great exposure for whoever bites on that opportunity.
No question. Question we get a ton, and it's almost every single year, even before you came to Georgia State, but about marketing, specifically marketing the revenue sports, marketing football, marketing basketball. I tried to explain to people, because you and I have had conversations about it, there is a calendar in place. There are things that, you know, happen, like an RJ shot against Baylor to spin the marketing up or down or back and around, you know, win over Georgia Southern in football, spinning that forward or back. You know, how much of a set calendar, or is there a calendar that you guys do in spring, short of, you know, promoting spring practice, a spring game, the spring tour, things like that? You know, does it slow down in spring at all, or is there something in place? Or, hey, you know, I've always, you know, in the past, again, not speaking for athletics here at any means, but in the past, saying, hey, look, you guys operate obviously on a physical year calendar. It starts on July 1st for, you know, new funding, new money, you know, kind of rolling in that way. That certainly has been a calendar in the past. But do you guys look at that and say, hey, we're going to go and start blasting advertising, or whether it be radio, outdoor, indoor, or, you know, direct mail? Or I'm not asking for a whole marketing plan here. Don't get me wrong. But just, you know, what is the plan? Because people say, hey, it doesn't hit me. I don't hear about events. I don't hear about things. And, you know, is there something that may be in the works? So I know you guys tried more online last year than you had before.
Yeah, at the end of the day, if you know, maybe start with a question and then kind of revert back to what our plan is. If anybody's saying that they don't know about an event or they don't hear about an event or they're unsure about when a team plays, obviously our website's a great opportunity for people to you know, put it on their desktop, put the app on their phone, because you know that's a constant source. Follow us on Twitter, you know, Instagram, all these other things that they come about. I think we do an incredible job from the social media aspect of making people aware. Now, whether people choose to come, that's, you know, certainly up to them. But, you know, on signing day, we had 400 people show up for signing day, which is, you know, blew everybody's expectation. And there wasn't this, you know, massive media campaign around it. It was the excitement, the energy, the word of mouth. And that's typical. A lot of the traditional advertising pieces that you see, you know, there's one reason or another as to why people do it. I'm a big believer that, you know, our goal is about generating revenue. And whether that's from ticket sales, whether it's from sponsorships, whether it's from funding, and we're going to be really, really targeted about what we do. Had great success, been doing this for a few years. And so I'm pretty comfortable with the process of saying, hey, listen, we're going to use all aspects of marketing. I don't really care to get into just doing big blanket, you know, whether it's a big billboard campaign or buying a bunch of radio or television and putting ads out there if they're not going to have a return for us. And we're able to, one of the things that we do, you know, pretty consistently is we can monitor, you know, quantify what type of return we get from a ticket sales standpoint, from an attendance standpoint. And so we're going to do the things that are effective for us. And if the casual guy, you know, rides down the street and says, hey, I don't see a billboard, or I see a, you know, billboard from Georgia talking about all their NFL picks, you know, at the end of the day, that's what they choose to do. I want to do what works for us and maximizes our resources. So spring is the time to start selling for football. And it's a big piece of the puzzle, and you know, certainly through the summer. So we do have a calendar. We work on that calendar pretty consistently. We also update it as time goes by, and then we make some adjustments in the spur of the moment. I promise you, if we were in the NCAA tournament this week, there would be a lot of publicity around Georgia State and Georgia State basketball. And so it's, you got to take advantage of those moments as well. But you know, we. And if anybody's got any bright ideas and new ideas or ideas that we haven't tried, that's part of the reason, again, behind the fan councils, because we want to hear from everybody and you know, at least understand that we're all trying to accomplish the same thing. So you know, really, would people with ideas, you know, I can tell you one thing that you know, we put a lot of time, effort, and energy into logos and branding and merchandise. And you know, I encourage people and ask people, plead with people to basically buy the T-shirts, buy the shirts. You know, we want more merchandise in stores, and the stores are going to carry it if it sells. If it doesn't sell, they're not going to carry it. Whether it's a, you know, a Georgia State golf shirt, or if it's a, you know, Gilligan's Island T-shirt or a baseball, it doesn't really, you know, whatever you want to put as an opposite. The retail partners want to generate income for the stores. They want to generate traffic, and you know, those are the things that you can do so much. But at the end of the day, it's the merchandise has got to move. And so, once the merchandise moves, then we'll, you know, we can expand on that and grow from that. So every little piece helps.
Yeah, it's tough, and I've had that very merchandise and that licensing conversation. I know it's difficult as well, because it is a truly chicken or the egg conversation. You know, I've talked to store owners, I've talked to retail owners, as I'm sure you have as well. You can go and have them purchase, you know, 50, 60, whatever, you know, whatever the product is, but if no one's buying it and no one knows about it, or they go and they don't purchase it, and they say, oh, this is cool, that it's here, and they don't purchase it, that's defeating the purpose. Retail owners and folks, shop owners, are in business to make money. If you don't purchase the gear, whatever it is, and you're, you know, just ordering things through different venues, then that makes it difficult, or online. So I've encouraged folks to go out to their vendors and ask. You know, I remember our friends down in Statesboro used to have a one-sheeter that basically said they would hand it to retail outlets that did not carry their gear, and said, hey, you missed an opportunity, as they were a grad of that school and this and that and the other, and encouraged them to, you know, circle back with the licensing department. Now, I'm not saying get guerrilla like that, but, it, you know, is there an outlet to you or somebody in your staff if maybe there is an opportunity for you for specific merchandise growth, or how does that process go? I honestly, maybe just you and I may have not had, ever had this conversation.
It's a real simple thing. The licensing operation for campus runs through CLC or collegiate licensing, and anytime somebody has a question, you know, people really get about email and say, hey, we went to this store, they didn't have our merchandise, or they had the wrong logos, and our partners at CLC are great with the follow-up. It just gets back to, you know, traffic. I mean, products got to sell, whether it's in the bookstore, whether it's at a mall, you know, whether it's at a chain store. If product sells, they're going to carry it. If it doesn't, then they're going to put something else in place of it. So I would tell you, it's not a chicken and egg, you know, conversation for me. It's all about the egg. And if it sells, people are going to, you know, everybody's an entrepreneur. They're going to put it out there. And that's the part that we just every day we got to grow.
No question. Well, spring practice next week. I know you are a former football player and athlete. So do you get the excitement? You get the buzz? You want to see some of these guys and some of the hard work and see what it looks like on Monday? I know you and I both are usually on the sidelines there for practices. New staff. Obviously, there was a relationship there with Sean. Are you looking forward to it like many of the fans are?
I have that same, but I do what I do as a career because of, you know, as I say, I live for Saturdays is kind of the way to explain it. So that adrenaline and that buzz is around a lot. To say I get excited about spring practice, no, I don't care about spring practice. That, to me, scarred memories from my college days. But as a fan, I'm incredibly excited about what happens on Monday and rest of the week. And I know the coaches are excited about getting to, you know, they've worked out with the kids. They've got to know them personally. And now it's, okay, let's start talking about scheme. Let's talk about the physical nature of the game. So they're all excited. But it's just, you know, again, it's a piece of the puzzle. It's start of a process. And it should be a lot of great excitement. And we're pretty close to finalizing location for the spring game and some of the other things that we're going to do around the spring. But it's, again, that becomes part of the whole marketing piece that, it's all one big package. And the key with the spring is for the guys stay healthy, to learn the schemes, learn the coaches, and find out who's ready to play and who's not. And figure out where the holes are that we can certainly with the new guys coming in, with the freshman transfers, whatever, coming in the fall to help answer those questions.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate the time on a busy, always busy Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, or Friday Eve, man.
Friday Eve,
that
I love
one
it.
Couple more times. Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, appreciate the time, Charlie. We'll catch up soon, man. I'm sure I'll see you down at the practice facility in the next week.
Absolutely.
Or two.
Appreciate it. And Ben, I can't emphasize it. Yeah, I can't emphasize it enough. If anybody's got questions or ideas, man, hit us up and let's have that conversation, because an engaged fan base is what we're after. So really appreciate the time. Thanks, man.
You got it. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.